summertime, which means we have to argue over with our kids and other people about what's appropriate to wear. So tonight I'd like to offer some references from the Bible of what we can and can't wear. Usually we go to 1 Timothy 2, 8 through 9, or 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 3, 3 through 4. If you'll turn there. 1 Peter chapter 3, 3 through 4 says, "Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price." This doesn't say much about the clothing. It's more about the attitude that we should have when choosing the clothing. But I want to look at a couple verses that talk about the clothing. In order to do that, I have to go to the Old Testament. So, I have to start out with a caveat. We don't obviously bind Old Testament law because we obey the New Testament. There's a subtle difference. There's actually many differences. We sing, we don't play instruments. We observe the Lord's Supper. We don't observe Pentecost or Passover. We have Christ as our one true sacrifice instead of sacrificing over and over and over again from the best of our herds, because we don't have any herds. And if we, one good example of a law we can't bind from the Old Testament is Deuteronomy 22:5. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5, it says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God." And people who do use the Old Testament as a binding law will reference this. And that's why you get, I believe, Pentecostals, whose the women will only wear skirts. We also wouldn't be able to wear the shirts that we own. Because if you scroll down to verse 11, if you flip down to verse 11, I'm going to scroll. It says, "Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together." Verse 12 says, "Thou shalt make the fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself." I don't think vestures are in style either. So, I just said that I'm going to use the Old Testament, but I can't bind the Old Testament. Well, you might say I'm kind of contradicting my own argument. But I would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to answer you. And say in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says, "Now, these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyed. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the earth are come." So we don't bind the Old Testament as law, but we still use the Old Testament as examples to understand or gain a better insight into God's attitude toward various things. So, with that big preamble, let's start with the New Testament and turn to John chapter 21, verse 7. in John chapter 1, 21. John chapter 21, verse 7. It says, "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes." We see Peter chooses to put his coat on, and the King James translation says it was because he was naked. And I go to this verse because it points out the difference between what the world today considers naked versus what God consistently qualifies as naked in the Bible. We think of naked today. If Peter was naked and fishing, then we might think of him as having absolutely no clothes on. But I don't think I've ever seen anybody fishing without any clothes on whatsoever. But I've seen plenty of people wearing very little while they're fishing, either shirtless or with bathing suits on. And there are a few other examples that we're going to look at in the Bible where people are wearing undergarments or underwear but still considered naked. We can also see from this verse that Peter puts on a coat. So he's covering his lower body and his upper body, which I would say implies that in order to not be naked, he had to cover his chest and his lower body. So guys, keep your shirts on. That's what I'm saying. And another interesting thing that I noticed from this verse while doing this study is, when does this happen? John 21 takes place after Jesus died and was resurrected. After Jesus died, the apostles more or less said, "That's it, guys." And the fishermen decided to go back to fishing. And that's where Jesus finds them. Peter's out fishing. He sees Jesus. He is so excited, he jumps into the water and he swims to shore. He can't wait for the boats to get there. Yet, Peter doesn't jump in with what he was wearing fishing. Peter took a moment to put on his overcoat, to put on his coat, and then jump in the water and swim to shore. So there we see his desire, his need to clothe himself. With that New Testament example out of the way, let's go to Genesis chapter 3. You can't talk about being naked without talking about Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says, after they eat the fruit, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." So here we see that they made themselves clothing. Was it enough? They apparently did not think so, because we see that they hid themselves from God when he came to the garden. If you go down to verse 8 through 10, after they make the fig leaf clothes, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and he said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." So Adam realizes, even though he's made these fig leaf clothes that he hasn't covered enough of himself. So he goes and hides. And he tells God the reason that he's hidden is because he's still naked. So after that, in verse 21, before they're kicked out of the garden, verse 21 says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." So we see that God makes clothes that are enough to cover them so that they're not naked anymore. We get even more specific when we go to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 25, it says, "And if thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it." Verse 26, "Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon." Now, does the priest magically lose all his clothes as he's walking up the steps? No. But he reveals enough of his legs that God considers him naked. So the priest could not walk up steps to go to the altar. God specified what needed to be covered. If you go to chapter 28 of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 28, verse 40, it says, "And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shall anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister under me in the priest's office." Verse 42, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in under the tabernacle for the congregation." So we see that God's criteria for covering up their nakedness is from the loins to the thighs. And we can argue 1 inch above the knee, 2 inches above the knee. But if we're using this example, then the thigh is not seen. Let's go to another example in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 47. In Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1, I will start this with a disclaimer that this language in this verse is symbolic or prophetic. He's talking about Babylon. He's talking about the daughter of Babylon. So it's prophetic, but it's language that's consistent with the other examples that we see, that we've read before now. So in Isaiah 47, verse 1, it says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man." And we see that he doesn't say, uncover the loins. He says, uncover the thighs. He says, the thighs and legs, and that makes her naked. So those are the best examples that I could find of trying to get references for what we could call nakedness in the Bible. In Acts chapter 20, verse 27, Paul says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul tells the Ephesians elders that he didn't shrink back from declaring the whole consent of God. And we see that the Old Testament is part of that counsel. We have examples, and we should use them. Jesus, when he was on earth, used examples from the Old Testament. When he talked about marriage, he said that God created him, created Adam and Eve to be joined together as one flesh, to be together, the example of marriage. And if you're not a Christian, I hope you can see that what we're trying to understand and apply is what the Bible says. When you ask a Christian a question about why they do what they do, then my hope is that you can come back with an answer from the Bible, to be able to point to some of these references. With clothing, with anything. The Bible tells us that we're separated from God. Isaiah 59, verse 1 through 3 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." We see that we're separated from God and that sin causes that separation. But we're fortunate that God put together a plan to reconnect with us through the sacrifice of Jesus. We understand that plan and learn of it from the Bible. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. We cannot derive faith on our own. We cannot come up from our imaginations of what faith is. We have to obtain it from the Bible. And once we obtain that faith, once we hear that word, we have to believe it. And specifically, we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. John chapter 8, verse 24 says that, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, that Jesus is the Christ, you shall die in your sins." So we have to hear the gospel, we have to believe it. We have to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Matthew 10:32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We have to repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish." And we have to be baptized. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Once we obey these steps and we're converted, we have to continue in that faith. Revelation 2:10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." So we have to continue in our faith. But there are times when we may fall back into our old ways. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if there's any tonight who has a need to obey the gospel for the first time or to repent of sins that they have committed since then, we are ready to assist you as we stand and sing.